Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me joy in my heart, keep me singing. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart, keep me singing. Keep me singing till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart, keep me resting. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me resting. Keep me resting till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Keep me serving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. nor can the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. We thank you for all the blessings that we have seen in the last week, in our lifetime. It just never ends, Father, and we thank you for that. Thank you for that hedge of angels you have about us all, especially those that we mentioned last night in prayer. We also lift up a 7-month-old baby that's in captivity of the state, and another family that Sister Jacqueline has been witnessing to. I guess there's an emergency that there's a snowstorm, I guess, in the Midwest. I'm in the Midwest. We're having a lot of rain here, but obviously it's colder up north, so we pray that, Father, you keep them safe, especially that little baby, and water the seeds that have been planted. We thank you, Father, for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, and letting it be that your truth and your truth alone is what cuts the hearts. And we thank you for helping us do this work, sending those that would answer to our prayers, because we don't ask mankind for help, Father. We ask you. And we thank you for sending them from far and wide so that we can go forth and do this amazing work for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. In Maranatha, page 168, it says, Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, points to the special working of Satan in spiritualism as an event to take place immediately before the second advent of Christ. And that's actually the prophecy number 17, I think, 16 or 17 in my book, People Get Ready. That is one of the last things, one of the major last things that are going to happen, of course, before all the mark of the beast and stuff like that. She says, speaking of Christ's second coming, he declares that it is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, which also is one of my favorite verses to prove there is no secret rapture or seven-year trib or any of that other stuff. And then she says, before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been since apostolic times. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out upon His children. At that time, many will separate themselves from those churches in which the love of this world has supplanted love for God and His Word. Now, as you know, as I mentioned last night, back in January of 2005, I did a 6-part series on primitive godliness. we know this is talking about the Seventh-day Remnant church when it gets to that. And how do we know that? Well, all you got to do is look at the other churches and how they keep Sunday holy, or they celebrate pagan holidays, or some are that are calling themselves Christians go to like Hollywood movies like Harry Potter and stuff, and or even the other disgusting movies. Or they eat all sorts of unclean foods, or they drink alcohol, smoke, watch porn, or play video games that are violent. Or worse yet, look at the Seventh-day Adventist Church and how it embraces the Vatican, not only as a friend, but they proclaim the Pope a holy man so much that they bow to his dogmatic statements as if they are truth itself. Brother Rob and I compiled a huge list of these agreements between the SDA Church and Rome in our Roman SDA flash animation that Brother Craig converted into actual DVDs not too long ago. This list is so massive that it confirms the prophecy of how widespread the worship of the popes can extend. Still, God's people are not deceived as promised because we have not lost our first love. Sister White goes on to say that many, both of the ministers and people, will gladly accept those great truths which God caused to be proclaimed at this time to prepare people for the Lord's second coming. You know, as John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, so are we, each one of us, every one of us, the remnant church, that have a true desire to be used of God, we're going to do this too. As we learned a few weeks ago in our Sabbath studies, Jesus was very adamant about one-on-one evangelism that he did while visiting us 2,000 years ago. Now, yes, he preached to thousands at a time quite often, but he also shared his truth one-on-one with some people he knew would spread it to thousands more. So don't think for a minute that because you don't have a soapbox to stand on that you cannot be used of God to spread this truth. Share your faith, and you're going to see his hand move. She says, the enemy of souls desires to hinder this work, and before the time for such a movement shall come, he will endeavor to prevent it by introducing a counterfeit. Now, as we look around today, at the church, all the churches of the world, we see that, yes, they are gearing up right now for a prophesied false revival. Rome has been very active in her ecumenical charge that has brought every church on earth, Christian and non-church, Christian alike, under her wing. And, yes, we have valid documentation right now to prove this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church from which many of us have come. I mean, we got the signed, sealed, and delivered papers where they are part of the global church now. Well, Spirit of Prophecy goes on to say that in those churches which he can bring under his deceptive power, the devil, he will make it appear that God's special blessing is poured out. There will be manifest what is thought to be a great religious interest. Multitudes will exalt that God is working marvelously for them when the work is that of another spirit. She says, under a religious guise, Satan will seek to extend his influence over the Christian world. You know, Rome has convinced thousands of denominations into this web of deceit, and yes, there have been strange apparitions, so-called miracles, and even healings to make the multitudes trust as if it's God's hand moving upon them. I mean, check it out. Like, you know, guys like Benny Hinn or Todd Bentley, that guy covered in all those tattoos, or Peter Popoff. These guys have just literally seduced millions of people away from Christ in just the last few years alone. Sister White goes on to say that young men and women are going to be lifted up, or will be lifted up, and will regard themselves as wonderfully favored, called to do some great thing. Young people notice this, okay? And we see this happening today, too. There are some young people, some that were even part of our movement, that all of a sudden they got these delusions of grandeur, like they're especially, you know, fitted of God. And they'll go and they'll try to expose their own pastors and come, you know, and do things because they think that they are wonderfully favored of God to do this. She says there will be conversions, many, after a peculiar order, but they will not bear the divine signature. Immorality will come in and extravagance, and many will make shipwreck of faith. And one of the easiest things about this is when they do these things because I'm going to get into this a little bit later too, but when they act as if they're wonderfully favored, all we got to do is basic Christianity 101 and what Jesus taught us on how to be fruit inspectors. It is by their fruits you shall know them. how can they be wonderfully favored of God if they do this or if they do that or if they, go here or go there in their lives, or live in sin or whatever, There's all sorts of things that they do that shows, look, if you really are wonderfully favored, why do you look like everybody else on the planet? Why do you do as they do? I mean, this statement reminds me of what she just said here about this, regarding themselves wonderfully favored. It reminds me of many Christians that claim that they have new light, who put off an air of being well favored by God by the supposed new light that everyone else seems to have missed. They ignore the fact, of course, that their new light goes directly against both Scripture and present truth for our time. I mean, bottom line, new light never contradicts old light. It can't be done. It can't be called light then. But the thought of being especially favored of God makes them believe they are prophets. In fact, some actually claim that title quite boldly, proving this prophetic statement of Sister White hits the nail right on the head. If you want to see it fulfilled for yourself, just go on YouTube or go on Google and type in the word prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Just that one, because there's the other one too, P-R-O-F-I-T. But that one's just money, profiting with money. But you're going to find literally hundreds of videos on YouTube and millions of websites on Google wherein many people actually think that they're prophets, literally, today. And as many as you know, I used to be Roman Catholic, and I know for a fact how false miracles and strange apparitions will work their magic on people. I know it. I've seen it with my own eyes decades ago before I left the church. And in 1917, just 2 years after Ellen White died, the Roman Catholic Church started to declare that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was all of a sudden appearing like a ghost in a grotto in Fatima, Portugal. Of course, it was a demon masquerading as Mary to lure the people into a false revival, and it worked. Hundreds of thousands flocked to Fatima. Seeing how it was so successful, this demon started to show up in many other places as well. And as Sister White predicted, the people that saw the apparitions thought themselves to be well favored of God. So since 1917, there have been literally thousands of demonic apparitions of both Mary and Jesus all around the world. And no longer is it just Catholics, the Catholic Church doing this now. This is happening with all sorts of denominations, including non-Christian churches. I mean, need I remind you about those Buddhist statues that drank milk on camera in the 1980s? I saw that with my own eyes, too. What concerned me about this is that as I watch the Seventh-day Adventist people today embracing more and more Catholic dogma, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that soon the SDA people will also start to see things. They'll start to dream dreams. They'll start to declare miracles and even proclaim that they've had visions as well. This is how Rome works. And as we know, Rome has most assuredly taken control of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's hers now. So expect this in the days to come. In fact, it's already started, as some of you know firsthand. So how does Satan make this viable option for the lost to do something so drastic, you ask? Well, when Fatima occurred, the Roman Catholic Church was still suffering greatly due to Napoleon's prophesied act upon them back in 1798 when they got the mortal wound. It was no longer a church and state. They had no more political power. It was next to impossible for the popes or the bishops or any of the prelates of the Catholic Church to get any influential politician to take notice of her evil desires, no matter how much they gilded the lily. I mean, they could dump money hand over fist to these guys, and it wasn't working. But after Fatima, hundreds of thousands of faithful followers of the demon calling itself Mary started to declare that the Roman Church was all of a sudden genuine. Her pews started to fill up once again, and all sorts of people from all walks of life, including those prominent politicians they so needed to influence. Then, within just 12 short years of that Fatima apparition, the Roman Catholic Church became a church and state once again. Now, look at the SDA Church. We know it has been taken over by Rome. We also know it's suffering greatly financially, and the remnant message is drawing people out of the church and into the arms of Christ. But some that have left don't have anywhere to go, and the Jesuits and the GC know this. So a revival is in order, so as to make them think all is well in the SDA Church, and many are going to run right back into Babylon's arms. Rome did this in Martin Luther's day, and they're going to do it today as well. In fact, I just got an email last month from a subscriber that stated 3ABN is already talking about a revival in the SDA Church that is bringing separated brethren back in right now. Now, I don't watch 3ABN, nor do I watch any TV since we removed it from our home. But I do know they are a government-funded 501c3 image of the Roman Catholic Church and massively corrupt like all the other ones. Plus, we have already seen recently how the SDA Church has been able to lure people back into the church by using Seventh-day Adventist preachers like John Osborne, for example, and others that preach a message similar to ours that lures those that left back, back into their camp. You know, what they do is they, like what the way Osborne did it, he just, they disfellowshipped him. And so everybody that left the church gathered around his camp because, you know, wow, good, you're one of us now. And then within a few short years, he went back into the church and brought them all with him. We have an amazing work ahead of us. And the Lord is just now starting to bless us with the tools to get that work done. We need to warn the people of this prophesied event that is already showing signs of fulfilling right before our eyes. In fact, I solicit your prayers in regards to asking the Lord for a way of making my sister's site at sdaapostasy.org more visible on the main site so as to allure the remnant people out to that site. Many of our brethren need to understand what the SDA Church is all about right now. The Lord has been sending many more people to the site lately than ever before, so I want to take advantage of that new influx of seekers. We need to remind the people to look into their Bibles and remember why they left the SDA churches in the first place, as well as all the other churches, because Rome will be performing this revival on all fronts now. In Great Controversy, page 593, Sister White says, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Of course, that's Isaiah 8:20. The people of God are directed to the scriptures as their safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent men from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible, for its plain utterances reveal his deceptions. I mean, case in point, how many Bibles are out there that have literally thousands of verses missing? He's doing everything he can. And for those that do read Bibles, he keeps them, in those Bibles or keeps them out of them with video games or TV, movies or whatever. At every revival, she says, of God's work, every revival, the prince of evil is aroused to more intense activity. He is now putting forth his utmost efforts for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. And this is why you'll see some of our number start to thin out. The shaking is occurring. It's going to happen. The Lord is trying to figure out who it is we're going to walk with him, because the signs are about to start to follow his people. And he can't have any, like in 1843 kind of people that are more concerned with getting right with Christ because they think he's coming back rather than getting right with Christ because they love him. He's going to shake them out. She says, the last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. And that's what I've been saying since day one. You got to stay in that Bible. That's the only way you're going to be able to fight and fend off those darts of Satan. Okay, everybody knows this from day one when they, as a babe in Christ, as they go through life and all these little tiny fiery darts of temptation. But it's going to get really crazy, really quick. It's not going to be little darts anymore. It's going to be big time stuff. By their testimony, every statement and every miracle must be tested, she says. Like the Bereans did. You know, some of you listening right now may be fairly new to this message. And some of you may even be ex-Seventh-day Adventists as well. When this false revival that will actually look genuine in nature comes to your area, and it will, of this we have no doubt, you need to remember a few basic facts so as to not be lured back into Babylon's sinful arms. You need to remember what your Bible says about the Seventh-day Adventist Church statement of faith, as well as their fruits. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 17, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I mean, it's written down. You got it there. Look at it, believe it, and settle it in your heart. Goes on. Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, what I'm about to share is somewhat of a long list, but I am purposely making it long to illustrate something in a way that will make it easier to remember. So please bear with me. It's nowhere near as long as I wanted to share it, by the way. As I share with you this list, ask yourselves this question. You, the remnant people of the living God, do you declare these to be the fruits of a people our God has called his chosen ones? Would you want to go back into a church that does what the SDA church is doing right now? And keep in mind, this list is nowhere near as large as the one compiled online. And everything I'm about to share is from actual documented Seventh-day Adventist sources. And it's all backed up, where you can go to the pages and the dates and all of it. So before sharing, though, I want to share a portion of an email that has been circulating among Seventh-day Adventists lately. A friend of the ministry sent it to me. I'm just going to share you a little excerpt from the email. It says, "Dear friends, this is so exciting. If you weren't aware of it, the annual council of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists was held a couple of weeks ago. My friend, Sarah Roosh, had the privilege of attending and leading out in the prayer room. She gave a wonderful report in our church yesterday, telling us that something like never before is happening in our church leadership. There is a revival and reformation movement that will hopefully spill out and spread to churches and individuals all over the world. She told us that church leaders were weeping and confession and committing to total surrender. Now keep in mind that these SDA leaders do know that all SDAs are concerned about their bold apostasy." I mean, to this day, since I started dealing with SDAs and asked them these questions, 100%, not 99.9, 100% of them, like the Roman Catholics, admit, yes, our church is in apostasy. Our leaders are in apostasy. That's a no-brainer. They know about this. So what's to stop them? Because the leaders know this. So what's to stop the leaders from fabricating a revival as Rome has done to make it seem as if the SDA people finally have their prayers answered? This is why they preached for decades that the SDA church will repair itself from within, totally going against what scriptures and spirit of prophecy says. Exact opposite. I mean, Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5 doesn't say stand, fix things, you know, mend fences. It says come out, right? It says come out of her, my people. But those leaders don't care because they know their congregations look to them more than they do to God's word. They're echoes. They're pastor echoes. They trust the man rather than the creator. As another prophecy stated, they worship the creature more than the creator. Along with the mass email that was sent out was a document that was circulated among the church leaders on how to revive the SDA people. Yet not once in that entire document do they denounce present apostasy or their agreements made with Rome or any other bold acceptances with sin for that matter. The document is nothing more than flowery speech filled with wonderful words to generate a group hug in the church, just like Rome does with their ecumenical charge. Even as they proclaim this revival is upon the leaders, the following list I'm about to share is still part of the church's fruit with no sign of repenting. In fact, in their revival document, they list seven things they plan to do in this revival, and not one of them speak of stopping the sins they are presently doing. Now, so even though they claim revival is upon the church, the SDA church still teaches the Trinity of the pagan Rome, as well as many other Catholic doctrines. That Roman SDA thing that Rob and I made, that's hands down, it shows it, right? It's when I talk about the other doctrines. They still celebrate all, not just some, but all of the pagan holidays. They still have scores, and a score is 20. I documented all this stuff, as well as Brother Rob has. They still have scores of Sunday-keeping churches. They still formally denounce the three angels' message and declare it trash in writing, which, by the way, was not mentioned in the revival document either. They didn't talk about three angels' message in there at all. They still have officially joined with and honor the Pope in the World Council of Churches and claim him holy in writing. They are still joined with the state with their 501c3 so as to create an image of that beast in every nation, you know, like a basic image, you know, the church and state thing. It's not the image that's about to hit, March 7th it actually did hit. They now have those powers that, you know, the lobby law with now. They still sue their fellow brethren in court using Roman Catholic and Jewish lawyers. They still disfellowship anyone that agrees with and preaches the Bible and spirit of prophecy inside SDA walls. They still have an Adventist Vatican, it's called in Spanish, Adventisto Vaticanus, in Maryland, USA, which, by the way, is where the revival document came from. I mean, that's pretty ironic if you think about it. All right. I got a picture of that thing where it actually says Adventisto, Adventisto Vaticanus on the SDA apostasy site. It is called the Vatican or the Adventist Vatican. And that's where that revival, so-called revival document has come from. If that's not enough, I don't know what it is, but, so they still have photographs of dozens of SDA students bowing in worship to Allah in a mosque. They still discuss evolution on 3ABN in a positive tone. They still dropped the seventh day, the words seventh day from their name as per SDA president's request. Adventist Review magazine still encourages Sunday worship in writing. The SDA president still proclaims the SDA church is a Catholic institution. They still participate in pontifical councils for promoting Christian unity around the world. They still promote and present the Roman Catholic movie, Passion of the Christ, or as I like to call it, the Passion of the Antichrist, in their churches. Many SDA pastors still declare Saturday to be a Jewish Sabbath. They actually use those words. They still invest millions of dollars in gambling their tithes in stock market gambling. Loma Linda is still using American Medical Association poisons as toxic as chemo on their parents. Patients. They still offer demonic activities like yoga, tai chi, and martial arts in SDA healthcare facilities. They are still involved in genocide in Rwanda right now. They still pray with the Pope. SDA pastors still claim in their books that Muslims and SDAs worship the same God. They still allow Jesuit priests to teach and preach pro-Catholic sermons at Andrews University as of 2008. They've been doing that now. It'll be 11 years in a few weeks, 3 years in a few weeks. They still declare that the 666 no longer applies to the Pope. It's on the historical trash heap for as far as they're concerned. They still have women pastors. Nowhere in their new revival documents do you see the three angels' message even being mentioned. And they still use Bibles with thousands of verses missing and rewritten to glorify Roman Catholic dogma. In fact, their revival document stated at the very end all the verses that were shared in the document were from the New King James Bible, the only Bible on earth with a 666 graphic on its cover proving Rome created or edited that Bible. And by the way, it's the exact same Wiccan ruin graphic used on the Zoso album or the Led Zeppelin No. 4 album cover of the satanic rock band called Led Zeppelin. Exact same logo of a rock and roll band that worships Satan. The lead guitarist lives in Aleister Crowley's mansion where Aleister Crowley's dead body is in the basement. So how, I ask, is this a revival or a return to what Sister White calls primitive godliness? How is that primitive godliness? Keep in mind, this list I just shared is 28 problems this church has right now. So just so you know, what I shared is a small fraction of what is listed on both SDAapostasy.org as well as the SDA section of lightministries.org. .com. That's right, that's .com. So, truth is, there is no real way to guesstimate just how loud the corruption or how large the corruption has grown in this church now that her apostasy has grown to such blinding heights. It's gotten that bad. Sister White said in Great Controversy, 1888 edition, page 463, she says, popular revivals are too often carried by appeals to the imagination by exciting the emotions, by gratifying the love for what is new and startling. Converts thus gained have little desire to listen to Bible truth, little interest in the testimony of prophets and apostles. Unless the religious service has something of a sensational character, it has no attractions for them. A message which appeals to the unimpassioned reason awakens no response. The plain warnings of God's word relating directly to their eternal interests are unheeded. The converts do not renounce their pride and love of the world. They are no more willing to deny self, to take up the cross, and follow the meek and lowly Jesus than before their conversion. Lands and goods and worldly occupations engross the mind, and things of eternal interest receive hardly a passing notice. In many of the revivals which have occurred during the last half century, the same influences have been at work to a greater or less degree that will manifest in the more extensive movements of the future. There is an emotional excitement, a mingling of the true with the false that is well adapted to mislead. And that's why that woman mentioned in that email, that mass email, that there was weeping. Oh, they got to let the people know about that. She goes on to say in early writings, page 261, she says, I saw that God has honest children among the nominal Adventists and the fallen churches. And before the plague shall be poured out, ministers and people will be called out from these churches and will gladly receive the truth. Satan knows this. And before the loud cry of the third angel is given, he raises an excitement in these religious bodies that those who have rejected the truth may think that God is with them. He hopes to deceive the honest and lead them to think that God is still working for the churches, but the light will shine, and all who are honest will leave the fallen churches and take their stand with the remnant. And see, that's the thing. They don't fix it from within. The Bible's clear in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. They're going to leave like you and I did. We need to remember, when these SDAs come forward acting as if the church is blessed, that none of the corruption I just shared or anything that is listed on the SDAapostasy.org or lightministries.com has ever been denounced by the SDA Church before, or even during these so-called revivals they are performing and planning to perform. That being said, if you are one that's on the fence as to whether or not you should go back into the SDA Church after their revivals make them appear so blessed and holy, all I ask is that you remember what's already been compiled against them and still on the books at present. Jesus plainly said to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Again, that's Matthew 7, verses 15 to 17. You have been given the warning of Christ, and well-documented sources has verified it as fulfilled as we speak. Now, I've been a Christian for some time now, and as many of you know, praise God, so have you. And many of you have been Christians for a long time. So I'm quite sure that what I'm about to say is not something that's going to surprise you. In fact, I know you've heard it said of you, or just as I've heard it said of me, that we are a peculiar people. They have said of us that we hold to our God as if he's a crutch. Some have even declared we hide behind our God when need be. But I must ask, is that such a bad thing, brothers and sisters? I mean, do we not strive unto that perfection and look to him as our God in all aspects of life? To please God is to please our hearts. To do his will has become second nature to us. Now, often I am ridiculed by people from all walks of life, whether they be far or even near to me as in my own lineage because of my faith. This has been happening to me since I left the Roman Catholic Church almost 26 years ago, and I'm sure it has happened to many of you since you left the SDA Church. We have been accused of being too strict in our walk. We have been accused of being too much to the letter of the law. We have been called a legalist, a fanatic, and even a religious nutcase at times. Again, I must ask, is it so wrong to embrace the written word of the very God we love? Is it so wrong to look upon the law of our God as if it is the apple of our eye? Proverbs 7, verses 1 to 5 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live in my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know, being a people of God's, after God's own heart, we will most assuredly be sought after by these strange women. And understanding prophecy as we do, it is clear the SDA Church is indeed a strange woman. When we walk through life, especially in today's world, we see all sorts of flattering sights designed to pull us away from our God. But none so flattering as that of an apostate church that claims to adhere to the same law we do, or worship the same God we do. As Sister White predicted long ago, and as we saw Rome start to do in 1917, we can rest assured that soon amazing miracles and so-called acts of God are going to be seen in the SDA Church, making it appear to be blessed so as to lure God's people away from Christ and back into Babylon. But if you stay in your Bibles and stand firm in the Lord, you won't be lured back into the arms of Rome. So how will the false revival boil up? I have no clue. But I do have history to work with. Whenever a great disaster occurred in history, there was always a revival directly afterwards. We can see this by looking at the small revivals in our day after September 11th or Katrina. You know, bottom line is, most FDAs are complacent and not much interested in the revival anyway. They, like the rest of the world, are more apt to not rock the boat. But let a major disaster hit, or an act of war wherein many die in a moment, and I'm sure a false revival is going to be sparked. Fear moves the worldly each and every time. Just like in the early 1840s, when most joined the end time movement out of fear, many will do say today, do the same thing today as well, I'm sure. I mean, the devil never changes a lot of his modus operandi. I mean, he keeps going the same way. So if a disaster hits, Rome's operatives and the churches will take advantage of it and claim it was sent by Satan to squash the revival the Lord supposedly started in the church. In other words, they're going to act like what they were doing was so blessed that the devil tried to stop it by causing this great disaster. And you can see that they're already testing the waters on this, because after Katrina, they went door to door with pastors. Not just the SDA Church did this, but all pastors of all denominations went door to door using Romans chapter 13 to say that, look, we're ordained of God. You got to put down your guns. They were already testing the people to see if they're going to follow their pastors. But as Sister White stated earlier, these false revivals won't change their doctrinal stand with Rome at all. They'll act like there's false revival, but all that stuff I listed, those 28 things, actually there's hundreds and hundreds of them, they're still going to be, you know, same old. It's going to be same yesterday and today and forever for those guys. You know, that's the bad end of things, whereas Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's much better. So this is how, when we see this and how they do this false revival and it looks all so great and wondrous, we'll also realize that they don't change their doctrinal stand on anything, and that's how we, the remnant people, will be able to discern who is with us and who is against us. It is by their fruits we shall know them, Jesus said. In Great Controversy 88, page 472, it says, the desire for an easy religion that requires no striving, no self-denial, no divorce from the follies of the world, has made the doctrine of faith and faith only a popular doctrine, but what saith the Word of God? You see, this is what FDA Adventism is about today. It's just like Roman Catholicism. You can be saved in your sins. They'll have the revival and keep all their bogus doctrines, all their pagan holidays, all their Sunday-keeping churches, all their garbage are going to keep it, and it's no big deal. There's no strife. It's an easy religion, she says. It's what's going to happen. She says, in regards to what the Apostle James is saying, in which he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Ye then see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That's James chapter 2, verses 14 and 24, of course. So this easy religion is exactly what Constantine did in the Edict of Milan in the year 313 AD. On a daily basis, that man, Constantine, surrounded himself with Roman Catholic priests and bishops dressed in holy garbs as a sign of his newfound faith before all. But he never renounced the paganism those prelates taught, just like the SDA Church is doing right now. Then, within 8 short years of being led around like a dog by his Catholic prelates, Constantine was convinced to enact the very first Sunday law on March 7th, 321 AD. Bottom line, if they claim a revival is in the church while still doing the works of Satan, as they're doing right now, you know they are not following the same Lord Jesus Christ that we worship, who declared through his apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Oh, Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, our God. Glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, our God. Glory to the King of Kings, Hosanna in the highest. Glory to the King of Kings.
Amen. If you can kneel, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophecies that help us to get ready. Even prophecies regarding these false revivals and that, where years ago they may have looked a little bit small compared to the other ones. But when we live it and we walk through it, we see how much of a danger it is upon those we love. And so we lift them up to you, Father. Bless our hearts with wisdom, discernment, and faith. And thank you for giving us an understanding that we got to open up the Word of God each and every day so that our faith is increased and so that we have the complete armor of the Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for keeping that hedge of angels always about us. And thank you for forgiving us when we fall short in sin. And thank you also for giving us a heart that desires to repent and confess when we do these things. And thank you for blessing us with the latter rain and letting the signs follow your people. And even though we see some of our members and some of our brothers and sisters and some of our friends and relatives being shaken out, thank you for giving us a strong love for you in our hearts first. Because, Father, you are our first love, and we don't want to give it up. But thank you for also loving us first, too, and for guiding us into your arms. In Jesus' name, amen.